brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Holy Week. Holy Week 2017. May this truly be a week that is holy. Holy means to be set apart, to have this week set apart in a certain sense from our ordinary routine. Now, I know that many of us are working and we have to follow that routine in that sense, but we honestly can do something in our lives. Maybe give God an extra 15 minutes this week. Maybe if you're near a church, just to go in and visit the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament for 5 minutes. Do some things, plural, do some things this week that are different as a way of acknowledging Jesus, you suffered and died for me. I am grateful, and I want to express my gratitude by my way of life. I want to express my gratitude by my willingness to follow you, by my willingness to put faith in you. I'm going to say a lot more about faith in the coming weeks, but for now, Lord, I want to believe in you. I want to believe your word, and I want to follow you. And so for this week, I'm going to do this each day as a way of acknowledging what you have done for me and as a way of coming before you, asking that you would strengthen me to follow you more closely. Make that decision. Make it today. Don't delay on it. Make it today. Let's take a look at the readings now for this Monday of Holy Week. Prophet Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 7. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break. Think about that. A bruised reed, something in a sense so small, a little damaged, a bruised reed he shall not break. A smoldering wick he shall not quench until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with its crops, who gives breath to its people and spirit to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. That's what Christ came to do for us. He came to open our eyes, to bring us out of prison, to bring us out of the dungeon. He came, brothers and sisters, to heal us and to set us free. Claim him. You are my Savior. Lord, thank you for what you have done for me. You are my God, my Savior, my Redeemer. You gave yourself up for me. Think about that. Ponder that. Psalm 27, again we come back to this psalm. It's a good one to learn. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge, of whom should I be afraid? When evildoers come at me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies themselves stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war be waged upon me, even then will I trust. Even when everything seems against you, even then will I trust. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. So wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted. Wait for the Lord. So many of you are suffering. So many of you are alone listening to this program. Many of you are suffering physical illness. Some of you mental illness. God loves you. He knows you. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted. Wait for the Lord. Call out to him. Read his word every day. Watch how he transforms you. And the gospel for today is the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. What an experience, huh? They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. And Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic nard, and she anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Mary took something very, very costly. Financially costly. And she poured it on Jesus. And it says the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. When we do a generous, good deed for the sake of a member of the body of Christ, our brother or our sister, when we genuinely do a good deed, Jesus sees. Jesus knows. It never goes unseen. Never. He sees. And the house, I'm putting the house in quotation marks, it was the Martha and Mary's house that was filled with the fragrance. But the house, in a certain sense, of our lives, the house where we dwell in this body, can give off a fragrance that draws people to him. When we pour ourselves out on behalf of the poor, the imprisoned, the lonely, the sick, the abandoned, when we pour out ourselves on them for the sake of Jesus Christ, you might not smell the perfume, but that act rises like sweet-smelling incense before the throne of God. And then Judas the Iscariot, one of his disciples and the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" See, he says you can give it to the poor, but he's thinking on a mercenary level. He says, let's be practical about this. Why didn't we sell it? Why didn't we get money? Why did you lavish it on one person? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and he held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. That's why he's saying, why didn't you sell it? It's because he would benefit. It's me, me, me. So Jesus said, leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And look at this. Look how the evil develops. Jesus keeps doing these things. The crowds keep getting greater. The chief priests, the Pharisees, etc., become very jealous because the attention that should be given to them, they think, is now being given to this upstart, this miracle worker. They can't see. They're blind and deaf to the truth. They've studied the word, but they haven't let the word go from the head to the heart. They haven't been changed or transformed, converted. And so it says here, the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. Do you see what can happen? Do you see that how wrong motive, being captured by evil, just expands? Oh, we'll kill this person. We'll get rid of this person. We'll deny this person. It grows. It grows to gargantuan proportions when we let evil have authority in our lives in just one area. It grows. We don't want that, brothers and sisters. You don't want that. I don't want that. The church doesn't want that. But we still make mistakes. We still turn away from God. We still listen to the crowd. We still do what, quote, everybody else is doing. Somebody said to me one time, well, I don't want to be too holy. And I thought, oh, dear God, you don't even understand. To be holy is to become like him. That God would share his very nature with us. That God would share himself with us. How I long to be in his presence. How I long to bear the perfume of his presence to others. Do you know that's for each and every one of us? That he wants to use us. He wants us to be like Mary. He wants us to be like Martha too, serving, absolutely. But he wants us to be like Mary, who put him first. Put him first. She didn't spare any cost to give him what was best. What do we do? What do I have, in a certain sense, that I could pour out on Jesus of Nazareth? What do I have? What do I consider costly? That if I gave it, I would feel I lost something. My gifts, are they used for his glory or for my own self, my own selfish self? The talents he's given me, the level of health he has given me, am I using them to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love those he has given me in my life as he has loved me? How am I living? Brothers and sisters, please don't go through this Holy Week without really dealing with yourself. Look at yourself. Am I given for the sake of others? Do I make rash judgments? Do I tarnish another's reputation? Do I gossip? Is there slander? Do I lie? Do I cheat? Do you know what I do? Is I diminish deeply the presence of God in me. Deeply. And I want to be in a place where what I pour out is my love, my service, my desire to see him honored, to see him elevated, to see him loved. That's what I want to spend my life with and doing. What about you? Do you have eternal goals? Pay attention to them in this Holy Week. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD, From Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.